Well, good morning. So we're looking forward to a wonderful week of preparation for Christmas, and we're excited about that. We have our youth gathering at the Olive Garden on this Thursday, and I'm looking forward to that. And next Sunday, there's no Saturday service, but there's a Sunday service, obviously, at 10:45 next Sunday. And then Dennis was telling us at 6 p.m. that evening, our candlelight service, which is a wonderful opportunity for us to recall that whole Christmas event and Jesus coming in the form of a babe, humbly. And we're going to talk about the names of Jesus that evening and have a lot of singing. So look forward to that also. You know, as Christmas Day approaches, there's a sense of excitement and anticipation. And what amazes me is the change in attitude over the years. You know, I think that when we're young, you know, the big thing is, I wonder what I'm going to get. You know, I'm going to get. And now that I'm older, you know, I just am glad that we have an opportunity to gather as a family. That's a small nation, but it's a challenge sometimes to get everybody together, but when we do, it's an awesome occurrence. And I look forward to more getting together than receiving anything. I could care less about gifts, but I don't know about you, but my mom and dad would always wrap their gifts just the night before and put them under the tree. But relatives sometimes would stop by and give a gift to us for kids or whatever, and that would go under the tree early. And when I went under the tree early, we had the opportunity to do whatever we wanted to figure it out. We couldn't unwrap it, but we could frisk it, and we could, tear the edges and peek inside and do whatever to see what, what it might be. We well knew by the time Christmas came what was it in those gifts. And so then there were those times when mom or dad would hide a gift, you know, even on Christmas morning and bring it out last. It was like a big deal if it was a special gift, sort of like the Christmas story where Ralphie gets his BB gun finally that he is hoping for. But I think as parents, we have a lot of joy to provide good things for our children. And as this Christmas day approaches, we often remind ourselves of the greatest gift that we ever would receive, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift. And with the gift of Jesus, we already, as believers, we already receive so much, haven't we? You know, you think of the many gifts that we receive already. I started just listing some, you know, just the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, salvation, grace, mercy. Oh, hallelujah for mercy. Spiritual gifts and healing and prayer, that opportunity to use Jesus' name. And children are a gift from God, right? And love, provisions, our spouse, protection, peace, that adoption, the power of a sin, other believers. And there are more. I'm just things that kind of just roll off your tongue. It's just remarkable. If we could go around there today and say, What are the gifts that you already received from the Lord? It's just, and God didn't use charge cards, obviously. Much of this was paid by our Lord Jesus Christ with his death on the cross. And what more could we have or receive than we've already received? These gifts often come like waves of the ocean. We just continually come. And we don't realize them when we're new believers, but the more we get to know Jesus, the more you recognize these gifts. It's like they become unwrapped and they're before us. And so, but in addition to these gifts, there are gifts that we have not yet realized. Gifts unopened, but promised. And this morning, I just want us to take a peek at those. And John chapter 1, verse 16 says, "And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." And that word grace there literally means gift. Gift upon gift. that undeserved gift that we receive. And today I just want to speak that God continually pours out grace upon grace on those who place their faith in Him. And it just comes in waves, one after another. Just His grace just flows so bountifully. God has promised His children so much. And there are at least, I'm not going to name all the gifts that we're yet to receive, but just three this morning, three gifts that we're yet to open. We're going to take a peek this morning at those gifts, and I hope that you think they're as awesome as I do. And that first thing is that we receive our event tickets. Event tickets. Man, you open up an envelope and there's event tickets in there. What is it? What could it be? What event are we anticipating? Well, tickets to join Jesus in the air when He returns. You know, I just wanted to take a little different look at Christmas this Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm going to get, my wife's like, are we going to do Luke chapter 2 today? Are we going to? I said, no, you got to wait. You're going to have to wait. I just want to take a little different take. Things that would get us excited, and there's nothing ho-hum about the Christmas story. Absolutely, miraculous, wonderful. We'll hear that next Sunday. But this Sunday, I want to get you a little excited about these gifts yet not completely realized. And this is a wonderful one I'm looking forward to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be with the so we will always be with the Lord. Wow. So this means Jesus is coming back. It means He wants us all there, literally, physically. And the great thing about this tickets that we received is that there's no rain date. It's not like if He comes, He's coming. It's guaranteed His coming. There's not going to be a delay or anything. When it's time, He'll be here. And the physical tickets, by the way, are not necessary because He'll recognize you. And you could be sick on that day, and guess what? You will be healed in His presence. One thing about these tickets, well, they're non-transferable, and so they are yours, and yours alone. You can't just give somebody the tickets, but you can tell them how to get the tickets, right? And it gets better. For those, we say, what if I die before the event? Well, it gets better. You know why? Because you get a front row seat. You get, it says right there, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So if you die before, you say, well, I hope I can get, you know, I hope I'm still here when Jesus, guess what? It's rather remarkable. What a gift. And we don't know exactly what it would be like. We have some hint of what it will be like. But yes, there will probably be more questions than answers that we have in our minds right now. But remember, we're just peeking this morning. We're just getting a glimpse. And we just have a glimpse of what's to come. And if you're asking, and you're sitting there, say, well, yeah, you know, I don't know if I have these tickets. I don't know. Well, who's this promise for? Well, this promise is for we who believe that Jesus has died and rose from the dead. Wow. And so if you believe that Jesus came and died for your sins and He rose from the dead, then you are one of His children and He has this gift tucked away for you. And that's awesome. And if you want tickets and you say, well, you know, I don't know that I've ever done that, well, I have an opportunity right now. And if you're listening online, this is a great opportunity for you to recognize why Jesus came to die for your sins. And so if you would, you can pray in your heart, believing this. This isn't a magical prayer. This is a prayer if you truly believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus died for your sins and you accepted what He has done for you. Just simply pray, Lord Jesus, I need You. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins and paying the penalty for my sins. I accept what You have done for me. And I turn from my sins and I turn to you. And help me to be the person that you made me be, that you're making me. And Jesus, I pray this in your name. Amen. There's a saying that, and we said it this morning in Sunday school, you aren't ready to live until you're ready to die. Once you're ready to die, you can live, truly live. And so let's look at another gift. Oh, a restaurant card. Wow. Fine dining card. This is wonderful. It's a gift card. And it's a gift card for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Amazing. A wedding feast. And this wedding feast is not like any smorgasbord that you've been to. And it's not like any buffet that you've been to. The greatest part of this dinner is not even the food. It's the host. Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. And we sing that song, Our God Reigns. It reminds me of that. Let me continue. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Wow. And so why do I say fine dining? Well, if you just think of a moment, think of some of the most beautiful places you went to eat. I don't know if they were like glass and marble and beautiful chandeliers, or maybe it was something rustic and huge timbers. You say, this is gorgeous. Or maybe that you just had, while you're eating, is a wonderful view of something, of just something you just thought, What a great scenery I had. Well, compare that to what we're going to see in heaven in this place of dining that we're going to be. This is Revelation 21, verses 18 through 23. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, and the second was sapphire. The third was agate. The fourth was emerald, and the fifth onyx. And the sixth was carnelian. The seventh was crystallite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth, and thereon, I can't pronounce. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, I'm just being honest there. It's my Sharpsburg Italian, some kind of accent that I can't get some words out. But the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each of the gates were made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city. Why was that? For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need for the sun or moon to shine on it. Why? For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Wow. Kind of makes our fine dining the best places that we've been, like the Brighton Hot Dog Shop. You know? This is remarkable. And it's nothing against the Brighton Hot Dog. That's a very nice, classy place, too. But this is not limited to the scenery, but who will be there? Jesus will be at the table. I'd like to sit down at a table and Jesus is in your presence. A table that he, in fact, has set for you. Again, I say, what a gift. What a gift. And remember, we're just taking a peek. We're just peeking today. don't know if you have ever been in a room where somebody opens a gift and there's just silence and it's just an amazing gift, and the one opening just stops and his or her eyes just well up with tears and they're just speechless. But one day, someday, when we're in heaven, when we initially get there, there will be something that perhaps would cross our mind if we were purely in our human state at that point. But when we are transformed, we may not think like this, but the question will come to our mind, but what should I wear? Let's not worry about that. We'll say, you know, we've done a lot of good things, and we shouldn't be like embarrassed at all. But guess what? When you read Isaiah 64:6, you know, kind of our good deeds don't really account for much. We've all become like one who's unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. Some of your versions may say filthy rags. Very accurate there. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. But don't get disappointed yet, because as we stand before God the Father, our sin is revealed, and we are spiritually filthy and ashamed. But are we? So what do we need? What could this package be? This package has white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. And it's a perfect gift. When you put it on, you're putting on Christ's righteousness. Anything of yours prior to that has been unacceptable and filthy. Listen to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. I'm not going to list it all because it's too much. But if you want to follow along, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in what? In white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? And I said to them, sir, you know. And he said to me, yes, I know. They are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them in his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne and will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I think of this and I think, when you were young, when you were open your gifts, what was the least that you wanted? Clothes. It's clothes. But now, the one thing that you receive more than anything in the presence of God is, what do you want? I want this. I want this white robe. I want this. It's something I cherish more than anything else. You see, Jesus has the only blood that you can put a dirty robe in and it turns out white. And unless you are pure and sinless, you can't enter the kingdom. And so we open this gift. And we know what it cost. And we know how much we need it. And now it's our only hope. And we let God clothe us with a robe dipped in the blood of his one and only Son. And it started in a stable where Jesus humbly presented himself to a lost world. Merry Christmas? Yes, Merry Christmas, oh my Lord. You came to earth, you took on flesh, you died for our sins, rising from the dead, and you didn't leave us as orphans, you gave us the Holy Spirit. And now, this day, you allow us to peek at gifts yet unrealized. We're looking forward to meeting you in the air. You are preparing a banquet before us in an indescribable place with jewels I can't even pronounce. But more than anything is your presence will be there, Lord. And you have the right clothes for us. And so we peeked and we caught a glimpse. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would experience the joy of Christmas, not only from what we receive, which is more than we could ever want or need, but you have blessed us with blessings upon blessings, and we say thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that you have revealed your Son to us in such a way that we've come to a saving knowledge of him. And Lord, I pray that we would not keep that to ourselves and just huddle around our gifts, but we would share that life-changing message with many that we will meet during this Christmas time. And I pray that we would share that truth with others, that they might come to a saving knowledge, and we would share these gifts that you've so bountifully given us with others. We pray this in Jesus' name.